Hi diddly ho, neighborinos. Welcome into the week 16 edition of Sunday Best. I'm your host, Jay Felicio, and before we jump into things, I wanted to apologize for my no-show last week. Unfortunately, one of my kids was sick last weekend, throwing a monkey wrench into my schedule because I had two of my three kids to myself with my wife and my daughter traveling, but I am back and will be through at least week 17. Not sure exactly about what's going to happen for week 18, but just like usual, you can expect a short, quick-hitting podcast reacting to Saturday's and Sunday's games. I'm not going to hit every game, I'm not going to hit every player, but what I will do is circle around the league and hit 10 or so of the most impactful performances, tell you what happened and what they mean for the foreseeable future. After that, I'll rapid fire a few performances that are worthy of mentioning, but don't need much analysis, and then I'll wrap up with any injuries that have fantasy repercussions at the end of the show. Now saddle up, Buttercup, let's get it. In a near carbon copy performance from week 15, Jalen Hurts threw two touchdowns, under 200 yards, and added 40 yards on the ground for another solid yet unspectacular performance. It's not really much to take away for Hurts, other than he remains a must-start, arguably the safest fantasy floor among the elite quarterbacks. AJ Brown didn't come down with a touchdown, but he did secure 9 of 12 targets for 95 yards and 18.5 fantasy points. It was Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert who caught scores, with both totaling under 50 yards, but 6 catches for Smith and 3 for Goddard were enough to get both into double digits. Next week, consider Brown and Smith their typical wide receiver 1, wide receiver 2 roles for both the Eagles and your fantasy teams. But I'd suggest avoiding Dallas Goedert against the Bills, who came into the week allowing the fewest points to the tight ends this season. Based on where you had to draft him, he's been one of the biggest busts this season, but we are getting vintage Saquon Barkley at just the right time. Barkley scored in 3 straight, averaging 18.9 fantasy points over that span. It was just his 3rd game this season, averaging over 5 yards per carry. Saquon should continue his recent resurgence in a top 5 matchup against the Bills next week, and has a chance to totally redeem himself from his early season struggles and carry teams to a fantasy championship. You'll notice a theme for week 16, and unfortunately, that's for starting quarterbacks to leave games and not return. The first of many was Marcus Mariota, who was 7 for 14 for 95 yards before hand and quad injuries forced him from the game early. With Jaden Daniels shut down for the season, it was Josh Johnson who took over and wound up with the rare negative fantasy point performance. Johnson completed 5 of 9 passes for 43 yards, throwing one interception and totaling negative 0.3 fantasy points. Mariota's status for next week's matchup with Dallas is unclear, but he's startable if he's able to go. If it's Johnson, I know it's tempting with the matchup, but don't go there. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt scored in a 2nd straight game, but was unable to duplicate his double-digit fantasy performance, rushing 8 times for 25 yards and a touchdown. With the return of Chris Rodriguez, touches were virtually split until the game was well out of hand, and that's where C-Rod did most of his damage, 15 attempts for 63 yards and a score. Last week's quote-unquote big game from Bill had more to do with the matchup against the Giants and no Rodriguez in the lineup than anything that Bill did. With the two virtually splitting work and Jeremy McNichol skimming a couple of touches off the top, nobody in the Washington backfield can be depended on. Even in a juicy matchup against Dallas, JCM and C-Rod are nothing more than touchdown-dependent flex plays. So remember that theme I mentioned 2 segments ago? The one where quarterbacks keep hitting hurt? Yeah, that theme began on Saturday, and this time it was Green Bay. Jordan Love suffered a concussion and had to leave the Packers' divisional matchup in Chicago after just 10 pass attempts. He was replaced by Malik Willis, who would go 9 for 11 for 121 yards and throw one touchdown pass, chipping in 44 rushing yards but losing a fumble. Willis came out of the game with a shoulder injury of his own, and with Love still in concussion protocol as of Sunday, who knows who's starting for the Packers in Week 17. If it's Jordan Love, he's fine to start as a borderline QB1. If it's Malik Willis, don't. After all the hubbub about whether Christian Watson would play or not, it was Romeo Doubs who led the way for Green Bay. Doubs caught 5 of 6 targets for 84 yards and a touchdown, just his 3rd game with over 10 fantasy points since Week 8, and his 2nd highest point total this season. Watson saw a solid 6 targets, but caught just 2 of them for 17 yards. If Love starts next week, Watson is still a boom-bust wide receiver too, and Doubs a low-ceiling flex play despite the nearly 20-point performance. And if it's Malik Willis, don't. Josh Jacobs' fantasy manager celebrated his active status for the fantasy semifinals before the game. Afterward, not so much. Jacobs finished with 4.8 fantasy points and was seemingly pulled from the game after a 3rd quarter fumble, playing just 2 snaps after the turnover. It was unclear at the time if it was actually because of the fumble or if he re-aggravated his injury, but according to head coach Matt LaFleur, it was because backup Emmanuel Wilson was running so well. Wilson did have nearly 6 yards per carry, but I find it really hard to believe that LaFleur would keep a stud like Jacobs on the sideline simply because Wilson was running the ball efficiently. Keep an eye on practice reports this week, but Jacobs is still locked in as a high-end RB1 if he suits up against the Ravens. No Romeo Dunze, no Luther Burden, so naturally, Caleb Williams has one of his best games of the season, at least for fantasy. But don't be fooled by the epic comeback win and the fanciful stat line. Williams completed just 9 passes through the first 3 quarters and didn't throw a touchdown until 28 seconds were left on the clock. I'm not trying to discount the potential career-shifting win, but from a pure performance standpoint, Williams left a lot to be desired. He completed 56% of his pass attempts and needed overtime to extend his multi-touchdown streak to 3 games. He's a must-start in Superflex against San Francisco next week, but still just a borderline QB1. But the man who stepped up and came down with a beautiful walk-off touchdown throw from Williams was none other than DJ Moore. Moore finished with 5 catches on 7 targets, with the game-sealing 46-yard touchdown catch accounting for nearly half of his 97 receiving yards. So much of Moore's value next week depends on the status of Romeo Dunze and Luther Burden, but with back-to-back 20-point games, Moore is at worst a worthy flex, and if both miss again, a borderline wide receiver too. Even reigning MVP Josh Allen wasn't able to escape this week's list of injured starters, but thankfully he was able to return to the game after a foot injury scare. But honestly, you wouldn't be able to tell if you were looking strictly at the box score. Allen completed just 12 of 19 passes for 130 yards and no touchdowns. The third time in 4 games, Allen has totaled under 200 passing yards. I know this goes without saying, but just in case you're concerned, Allen will be just fine. The Bills were able to beat the Browns thanks to their defense and run game, and Allen wasn't really asked to do much at all. Do not hesitate to start him next week against the Eagles. As is per usual, the only fantasy-relevant Cleveland Brown was rookie tight end Harold Fannin Jr. Fannin caught 4 of 6 targets for 34 yards and a score, and got to the end zone for a second time on a 1-yard run, the first rushing touchdown of his career. His ceiling is capped by the Cleveland offense and the meh at best QB play, but he's become a must-start tight end down the stretch. Fannin is in a position to go off for fantasy managers in the championship, facing a Pittsburgh Steelers team that has allowed the second most fantasy points per game to the position. George Pickens finally stopped pouting long enough to blow up against the Chargers to the tune of 7 catches, 130 yards, and a touchdown. Pickens shrugged off the fact that LA came into the game holding opposing wideouts to the fewest fantasy points per game to score an even 26 points, first game over 20 points since week 12. As long as he doesn't decide to play at half speed, consider Pickens back to a borderline wide receiver 1 for the fantasy championship weekend. Javonte Williams totaled a season-low 34 yards on a season-low 9 carries for a season-low 6.3 fantasy points. Oddly enough, his pedestrian 3.8 yards per carry was not a season-low. The fantasy semifinals are undoubtedly the worst possible moment for Williams to have his third game under 10 points this season, but don't hesitate to put him right back in your lineups against the Commanders in Week 17. Washington has given up 7 total touchdowns to running backs since the bye. Because everything's made up and the points don't matter, it makes perfect sense for the struggling Ashton Jeanty to feast in an awful matchup against Houston. The Raiders rookie running back put up a 30-burger on a Texans defense that has held all but 2 backs under 15 points since Week 6. Jeanty put up 188 total yards of offense with a pair of touchdowns, 1 rushing and 1 receiving. Talent has never been the issue for Jeanty, but the Raiders' anemic offense has. His second best game of the season gives you a nice boost of confidence in starting Jeanty in Week 17, where it could go bananas against a Giants defense that allows the third most fantasy points to the position. In case you didn't know, Trevor Lawrence is on fire. T-Law played arguably his best game of his career going into Denver and scoring 4 touchdowns against one of the most ferocious defenses in the entire NFL. Jacksonville ended the Broncos' 12-game winning streak on the back of Lawrence's epic performance, making me look like a fool for fading him this week. Lawrence has 14 touchdowns and 0 turnovers in his last 4 games and is an auto start in fantasy championships. He's the hottest player in all the land, and he's playing pretty well too. Lawrence threw 3 of his 4 touchdowns, but none of them went to Jacoby Myers or Brian Thomas Jr. One was to Brenton Strange, another to Etienne, and the third went to Parker Washington, who caught 6 of 9 targets for 145 yards and a touchdown. It does make some sense against Denver, with second or third receivers generally outproducing teams' top wideouts with Patrick Surtain on the field. Washington is a risky flex play next week, but he's worth a dart throw if you're in need. Joe Burrow bounced back bigly, throwing not one, not two, not three, but four touchdown passes against the Dolphins. Two of which went to Chase Brown, whose name you can add to the short list of players this season who have scored three touchdowns in a game, with all three of his scores coming in the third, catching two and running in one. Brown has averaged over 20 points per game since week 8. Chris Olave went full endless breadsticks against Jets, Jets, Mets, scoring a season-high 36.8 fantasy points. He caught 10 of 16 targets for 148 yards and two touchdowns. Olave set up perfectly to go three straight games over 20 fantasy points, with a Week 17 meeting with the Titans up next. James Cook hit the century mark and ran in for two touchdowns for his second straight game. This just in, James Cook is good at football. Kyle Pitts didn't quite score 40, but he did keep his end-of-season hot streak ablaze. Pitts had his fourth straight game of 15 or more fantasy points, which was reassuring with the return of Drake London. Jared Goff started slow, but threw for nearly 400 yards and tossed three touchdowns in the Lions' heartbreaking loss to the Steelers. If Goff is indoors, he scores. The dynamic running back duo in Detroit this week was actually on the Steelers' sideline. Jaylen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell giving zero flips about the Lions' dominant run defense. Warren and Gainwell combined for 279 total yards and three touchdowns between them. Quinshon Judkins suffered a catastrophic season-ending injury against the Bills, which was diagnosed as a dislocated right ankle and broken fibula. It's obviously a long-term injury, but is expected to be ready for week one of next season. Jordan Love exited Saturday's game against the Bears with a concussion after a helmet-to-helmet hit. His status for the upcoming week is uncertain. Malik Willis sustained a shoulder injury while filling in for Love against the Bears. He finished the game, but was described by head coach Matt LaFleur as pretty sore. J.J. McCarthy was ruled out of the game against the Giants after suffering an injury to his right throwing hand late in the second quarter. Josh Allen briefly left the game against the Browns with an injury sustained on a sack. He returned to play, but definitely didn't seem quite like himself. Kamani Vidal exited the game against the Cowboys with a neck injury and didn't return. Marcus Mariota injured his right hand in the third quarter against the Eagles and did not return, forcing Josh Johnson into action. Pat Bryant took a massive hit and immediately went full ragdoll to the ground. The rookie receiver was put on a backboard, carted off the field, and brought to the hospital, where he thankfully had movement in his hands and legs. And that's a wrap for the Week 16 edition of Sunday Best. I know I missed last week, but I will be back for Week 17 to get you ready for Week 18. Not quite sure if there's going to be a Week 18 episode just yet, but don't fret. There will be an off-season edition of this podcast in some form or fashion. I'll be putting out tons of great content at QB List all off-season long. Articles, podcasts, videos, you name it. I'm not going anywhere. I will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. And as always, choose love, not hate.